Hello, and welcome back to Bench to Bedside. I'm your host, Dr. Susan Firth, Executive Vice President and Chief Scientific Officer of the Research Institute. In this three-part series of our podcast, we'll be focusing on the Institute's dedication to diversity, equity, and inclusion on campus and off, as we continue our celebration of the 100th anniversary of the first research lab at CHOP, we'll take a look back to see just how far we've come. Because today, we not only strive to promote a welcoming and inclusive environment with a diverse workforce on campus, but we conduct research to promote evidence-based interventions that aim to reduce health disparities in our Philadelphia community. My guest today is Dr. Paulette McCray, Associate Director of Specialty Programs and Diversity in the Office of Academic Training and Outreach Programs. It's a great time for us to reflect on where we've been and where we're going, especially in areas that are key priorities for us. In your position, you support CHOP's growing, diverse research workforce. Since you started at CHOP to now, can you tell us how things have changed?
Yes, absolutely. First, let me thank you for inviting me to speak today. Really excited to be here and part of the 100-year celebration for the Research Institute. I started at CHOP in 2007 as a postdoc. I was in the Division of Neurology, and things have changed tremendously since I was a trainee a number of years ago. I had a fantastic training experience, but it was really obvious to me that there were no near peers that looked like me or shared a similar life experience. Also, looking at the faculty, I didn't see a lot of representation of myself as a woman of color in STEM. But since then, there's been tremendous effort in this space of diversity at the Research Institute, but not just diversity, also the inclusion side of the equation, which is equally important.
So there is a wealth of data that shows that diversity of thought and perspective makes organizations stronger. Can you share some examples of how diversity and inclusivity has contributed to some of our successes here at the Research Institute?
We know that scientific progress requires asking new questions and looking at things in a new way. And having diverse perspectives really drives that. So it really drives having different lenses to view information through, different experiences, different perspectives, different lived experiences as well. And what happens when you put this together is we have better science. We're able to do our work in a way that is more robust and profound and impactful. The other thing that we know is underrepresented minorities make up about 30% of the U.S. population, and women make up over 50% of the U.S. population. So to continue to be competitive in the global workforce, we have to not discount a majority of potential people that could be part of our workforce. And I think the Research Institute has been very intentional in these regards, understanding the benefits of having these diverse perspectives as part of the process to ask the questions that we want to ask. And I think part of the success of the Research Institute really comes from the fact that the leadership is committed to diversity and inclusion, and really driving it from the top down, because we can have all the employees at the Research Institute very committed to it. But if leadership is not behind that, it's very difficult to get anything done and get that movement going. But we've had the commitment from the leadership team, and not just within the Research Institute, but enterprise-wide, to really move the diversity initiatives forward. And with that, what happens is we're able to create an environment that is welcoming for a variety of individuals to really reach their full potential and contribute within the STEM workforce. We're seeing that on a daily basis.
That's fabulous. So you mentioned the enterprise commitment to diversity and the Research Institute diversity, equity, and inclusion planning. Can you tell us about the DEI action plan in the Research Institute, and what are the actual steps and the themes? Can you explain it to our audience?
Oh, sure. We were very intentional in developing the action steps for the Research Institute. A couple of years ago, all institutions were kind of having a moment of reckoning. The Research Institute had already been thinking about what we wanted to do in the DEI space before that time period. What we saw was institutions and companies and enterprises putting out these beautiful statements of support for DEI and DEI initiatives, and then not much action. And we didn't want to be in that position. We wanted to obviously express our support for diversity, equity, and inclusion. But more than that, we wanted action behind it. So that was the impetus to really develop the action steps. The action steps are focused around a number of topics or themes, as you alluded to. One is looking at the DEI landscape here at the Research Institute. That had not been done before. So taking a step back and looking internally to see what is it we're doing in the diversity space, what is it we're doing in terms of equity, and what is it we're doing in terms of inclusion? Where are we at? Where do we want to be? Also looking at peers, what are they doing? We don't want to just be equal to our peers. We want to be leaders in the space. So it was taking that moment of perspective to assess where are we, what are other people doing, and what do we want to do that's better? So that was one theme. The other is promoting inclusion. And you'll hear me talk a lot about that, because diversity without inclusion gets us nowhere. Inclusion is really building an environment where people want to be, where people feel they're valued, where people feel they're included, where they feel their perspective matters, and importantly, where they can be their authentic selves. And so we're really focused on building that. And that takes time, that takes trust, and it's something that we're extremely focused on. So that is another one of the overarching themes. Another one is building a diverse workforce. That one's pretty self-explanatory. But when we talk about that, we're talking about at all levels of the Research Institute. So we're talking about building a diverse workforce in terms of our staff. We're talking about that in terms of our trainees, as well as our faculty. So across the board, really ensuring that we have representation at all levels throughout the Research Institute. Another one of the themes that we have in place is investing in student and trainee programs. So building that pipeline for the next generation, what's investing now for the future. And we have a number of programs in place here at various stages of a trainee experience, from elementary school straight through to postdoctoral. So all ages of the spectrum are included there. Another theme that we have in place is building the support for our PIs to be able to lead and mentor truly diverse teams. So empowering our faculty, who tend to be the leads of the research groups, giving them the power and the skills to really drive diverse teams. And the last theme that we focus on within the action steps is the diversity, equity, and inclusion of research in the clinical space. That includes not just the research participants, which clearly we're focused on that. We want representation, but it also is talking about diversity in terms of the research teams and our community partnerships, and making sure that we have those partnerships in place and that there's trust between the community and the Research Institute. Those are the overarching themes that we have in place.
That's really remarkable. One of our priorities as a research institute in a children's hospital is to grow future leaders who are going to make breakthroughs, improve child health and outcomes for our population at large generally, and then those with the kinds of diseases that end up bringing patients to CHOP. That pipeline is so important. You do a lot to promote the careers of up-and-coming scientists, whether they're students or postdocs or other researchers in training. Can you tell us about a couple of those particular programs? For example, the Postdoc Diversity Fellowship Program and how that has expanded over the years.
This program is a partnership with the University of Pennsylvania. We started the partnership in 2016 with two fellows, and the initial commitment from the Research Institute was two fellows per year. So we're at year six. You would think we would have 12 fellows that have participated in the program. We actually, to date, have 21 that have participated in the program. And that is a testament to the commitment from the leadership to increase the number of slots that we have available in that program. That program is put in place to support diversity at the level of postdocs within the Research Institute. When we first started the program, again, with two fellows, we were really just trying to get the program off the ground. And now we have so much support and structure built around the program. It's grown tremendously. What we're able to do with the fellows has expanded tremendously. We're able to provide them with one-on-one career counseling so they can develop a plan to get to where it is they're trying to get to in the future. We have built in GPS workshops. That's the grant proposal success built into the program. We're currently working on developing support around mentoring committees for postdocs that are in the program. Again, allowing them to get input and access to people beyond their PI. Their PIs are fantastic and great. But again, having that support system around them is really vital. And we're also working on CV and biosketch review for them, again, as they're starting to traverse into their next phase. It's such a critical point that we're capturing them at, that we want to make sure that they're going to have success moving forward. And to date, with the 21 fellows that we've had in the program, 100% are still in STEM fields. That's been exciting to see as well.
Yeah, that's great. Can you give us examples of the things some of those graduates are doing?
They run the gamut in terms of what they're doing now. We have trainees that have since left CHOP and moved on to their official careers. We have fellows that are in tenure track faculty positions. Actually, we have one fellow in particular that is part of the first cohort of Mosaic grants, so a K99R00 that is a diversity-focused grant that was just released last year. So she was able to successfully compete for that. She's now faculty at UConn. We're really excited for her. But we do have a number that are in tenure track faculty positions. We have fellows that are now working at the CDC, the FDA. We have fellows that are doing consulting in the health space. And we also have trainees that are working in industry.
That's fabulous. It shows the breadth of impact that the program is having. It's really great to hear. Congratulations. You should be very proud.
We are.
That's great. I've known you for quite some time. You mentioned you were a trainee here in neuroscience, but I don't know that much between what happened then and what you're doing now. So can you tell me what took you down this path and what is it about the Research Institute that inspired you to stay and make these changes and these remarkable programs that you've described?
My journey obviously started a long time ago, but when I was in undergrad, I was pre-med. The plan was to go to medical school. As a minority and as a woman, if you excelled in science, that was the niche that was carved out for you. And that was the path that I was on. I started to do research to be competitive or medical school, and fell in love with research and the questions you could ask and the level that you could impact people and the breadth of what you could do in the research space. And it was also very clear to me that no one looked at me, though I had a 4.0 as an undergrad, but no one looked at me and said, "Are you interested in research?" They also didn't view me as someone that would be in research. It was a foreign world until I tapped on that door and went through it and fell in love with it. So changed my path, changed my trajectory and my goals, and decided that graduate school was where I was going to go. Had no idea what that meant or how I was going to do that. I'm also first generation. So first generation college. Can't look at my family for advice on how to traverse this new world that I'm going into. And it's also very hard to explain to people. They understand the journey and the path to be an MD. But to try to explain, I'm going to do a PhD, like I'm going to start and I'll be done at some point, and and then I'm going to make a career out of that. But my family was very supportive of it. And I applied to a number of graduate schools. I went to Yale, started my graduate work. And that was a really interesting experience because, again, I was in lecture halls, 300 people, and there's no one that looks like me. With that said, I did finish my degree in neurobiology and found out that I was the first African American to receive a PhD in neurobiology from Yale University. I was actually astounded that at that time there were still firsts, that no one else had done this. I was also thankful that I didn't find that out my first year of graduate school. That's a lot to carry on top of everything you have to do as a graduate student. So I had that experience. And then I came to CHOP, fantastic training experience. But again, feeling like, where do I fit? What does my future career look like? And not seeing that representation. And I was like, that's where I need to be. I need to be opening the doors for that next generation so they can see themselves and they can make a difference. I've always loved administration, and I participated in what is now the ACE Fellowship. That program allows you to get experience in administration as a postdoc, and I absolutely loved it. It actually gave me a lot of soft skills to transition out of the research environment. And I left CHOP. I went and I did health communications consulting for a couple of years and was really missing the academic environment. I was missing the opportunity to impact people in that space. It's just very different than health communications consulting. And an opportunity opened up on our team, the team of academic training and outreach programs. I applied for it. I got it. The rest is history. I work with a fantastic team of people who are supportive of my vision, but my vision aligns with what it is they're trying to accomplish and what it is the Research Institute has been trying to accomplish. So it was kind of a perfect marriage, and we've been making history ever since.
Your passion for this area really comes through, and you've had remarkable impact. We're so glad you're leading these efforts. It's really wonderful for the institution, and it makes a visible change in the culture and the welcoming environment. So just want to thank you for those contributions. You've reflected on what got you here. Is there any advice that you would tell your younger self or for the people listening about embarking on a science career?
I would strongly suggest that they listen to that little voice inside of them. There will be many obstacles and barriers that are in the way of getting to what that goal is that they're trying to accomplish, but really being able to generate the belief that they can do it from within is so instrumental. With that, it's really about having the right people around you. So seeking out mentors, seeking out people, sharing what it is you're trying to do so that people can help you get to where it is you're ultimately trying to get to, and not being scared to ask for help. I think that's just really important. And one of the things that we try to do through our programming, through our touch points with trainees, students at various points in their exploration of their careers, is to let them know that our team is here to support them in that journey. And giving them that level of comfort to come forward and say, this is what I want to try. I want to explore this. Am I good enough? Can I make it? The answer is absolutely. And let's figure out the path to get you there.
That's great. That's such a terrific environment and great insights to share. Thank you, Paulette. This has been terrific. I really enjoyed learning about your journey and hearing more about all the work you're doing. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Please join me next time as we continue the diversity and inclusion conversation with Dr. Diana Montoya-Williams. She's an attending neonatologist and is also a faculty member at Policy Lab at CHOP. For more stories about people of the Research Institute and the incredible work they're doing, visit Cornerstone, our official blog at research.chop.edu/cornerstone-blog.